Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So this text begins with a stark reminder. But the 11 disciples went into Galilee. I mean, there were originally 12 disciples, which correlated with the 12 sons of Judah and the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, there's only 11. They have been broken apart by Judas's treason. So the 11 disciples go to the mountain where Jesus has sent them. In John's gospel, important things happened on mountains. The Sermon on the Mount, the Last Temptation, the Transfiguration. We don't know the name of the mountain, but that's irrelevant. Being on a mountain is a sign that this commissioning is something to pay attention to. We can only guess what the disciples are thinking as they walk towards the mountain. But we know what happens when they finally see Jesus. They bow down to him, but some doubted. The Greek word for doubt is distazo. The root of the word is dis, which means twice or two ways. It can also mean hesitate. One of my favorite poems is by Robert Frost, and it's called The Road Not Taken. In that poem, a traveler comes to a fork in the road and hesitates, knowing that his choice will make all the difference in his life, but not knowing which fork would be the better choice. This is the experience of these 11 disciples when they see Jesus. They want to believe, and they do believe, but they're torn. Knowing that Jesus has died, they hesitate to believe their eyes when they see him alive again. This word, distazo, also gives a sense of standing in two places at the same time. Jesus commissions disciples who are far from perfect. They both worship and doubt. And they stand in two places at the same time, at the edge of their world that's ending, and at the edge of the one that's beginning. We understand why they would worship Jesus. They know he was executed and buried. They know that Good Friday appeared to be the end. But now they see Jesus alive, and they know he's the Messiah. They see with their own eyes that their teacher has power, even over death. But we can also understand why some of them would doubt or hesitate. Nothing has prepared them for what they're seeing, except maybe the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, Jesus' own disciples have a tinge of doubt as they see Jesus, who was raised from the dead. So if we're tempted to criticize the disciples for doubting, let's ask ourselves, would we have done any better? Would we have hesitated? Might we have had a twinge of doubt? We may still doubt. And that's okay. Jesus chose to do his work through less than perfect disciples, and he can do the same through less than perfect us. Jesus' choice of less than perfect people to carry out an extraordinary mission is seen throughout Scripture. Moses committed murder. David committed adultery and then murdered her husband. Samson made terrible choices about women. Jonah ran away. Rahab was a prostitute. Peter denied Jesus three times. Paul held the coats of his fellow Jews as they stoned Stephen to death. Each one less than perfect, and each one did great things for God. So, there they are, on an unnamed mountain in backwater Galilee with a congregation of 11, down from 12 just the week before. It's not surprising some of them are doubtful and not really sure why they'd come to worship this day. What Jesus tells them may make them doubt even more. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, nations doesn't mean nations in the modern sense of nation states, but more like foreigners. Tribes of people who are not at all like you, or to put it bluntly, Gentiles. These disciples were Jews, and they knew the scriptures by heart. They knew God had promised Abraham that all the tribes of the earth would one day be brought into the family of God, that even the alien Gentiles would bow before Israel's God. But, like a lot of things in the Bible, this was a truth easier to swallow when it was part of their prayers rather than something they were expected to strap on their boots and get done. Telling this little band of 11 confused and disoriented and doubtful disciples that they were going to go to all the people of the earth and baptize them in the name of Jesus would be like telling you, go into all the world and cure cancer, clean up the environment, evangelize the unbelieving, and while you're at it, establish world peace. That's the point, or close to it. The very fact that this task is utterly impossible throws the disciples completely on the mercy and strength of God. And the work of the church still can't be done until we truly believe that all authority doesn't belong to the people of the church or to the resources that we have. The work of the church can only be done because of God's investment in Jesus the Son and the willingness of the Son to be present always to the church in the Holy Spirit. And that's the meaning of the Trinity. God invested in Jesus the Son, who is present with us forever as the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, three in one, helps us do the work of the church. And what is the work of the church? To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. So, dear church, don't worry if you're not perfect. God will take your less than perfect hearts and minds and use them for God's purpose. Don't worry if you have doubts. So did the disciples. Just come to this table of grace and then go and do God's work. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.